I guess I stand here today with a lot of emotion. I'm not quite sure how to start or what to say, but I just want to thank all of you for coming. Thank all of you for changing your schedules and so on. I expected the people that normally attend to be here, but a number of you that attended at one time have come, and I thank you for that. I really appreciate that you have done that, and it's much appreciated. You know, something was mentioned here about this pulpit, and yes, this pulpit was used the first 2 years. It might have been used maybe just a short time in the other building, but we soon had the furniture there, new furniture, and so then I think it went down in the basement, and the children used it in their get-togethers then. But so it does bring back memories. 1974, Danny already gave some idea of what it was, a little bit of what it was like in 1974. I'm not going to repeat some of the same things that I was thinking of. But he mentioned the price of gas. The price of gasoline and the average price of gasoline in 1974. By the way, this was something he mentioned was that it was the beginning there of the energy crisis. And gasoline had shot up to 53 cents. I remember walking into a grocery store about that time, and you remember those magazines that used to be there by the counter? They always had tried some kind of a crazy headline to try to get your attention to buy it. And one of those magazines said that gasoline is going to go to a dollar. And just to show you how good of a prophet I am, I said, if it goes to a dollar, everybody will quit driving. If you've got $6.36 today, you can buy what we did back then for a dollar. If you wanted to buy an average house back then, it was around $38,900. Those things seem kind of cheap, don't they? We didn't know what a cell phone was. That was not a term in our vocabulary. And a laptop is where you carried babies back then. A lot of changes have happened. We all realize that. If you would have asked us back then, what do you think life is going to be like in 50 years? Most likely we would have told you, you won't see 50 years. The Lord is going to come back before 50 years. I think that would have been our mentality at that time. The world then was in a turmoil. And of course, it still is. Lots of changes were happening. Changes in churches. And there seemed to be fundamental changes that were taking place. About that time then, in 1973, in the fall of 73, a few families of us started meeting together. And not on Sunday, but during the week. And we, at some point, I don't have a good handle on exactly what date that was, but we decided that we were going to start a more formal service on Sunday morning. Marjorie's and some of your father, Jerry, had a cabin there at Perrin Lake. And if you're not familiar, I think most of us know where Perrin Lake is, where we always go for the church camp out. And if you take the road here and go north, and go to the stop sign, and if you keep on going, you're going to end up in Perrin Lake shortly. And so one thing I had to think about, Perrin Lake has played a big role in us as a church. And because that's where we started, and by the way, that house is still over on the north side of the lake. And it was a two-story house. It was built into the bank, and the upper story, I can't remember who, maybe somebody remembers who was living up there at that time, but the bottom was empty, and Jerry said we could use it to meet together. It was a walkout, and it walked out, and then you could go down and right out to the lake. There was windows on that end, and you could see right out over the lake. The I don't remember that first service if we had Sunday school or not, but I know we soon did, and we had a Sunday school almost immediately, I think, starting. The going back through my notes, and I've been thankful that over the years, and I'd already had that practice by then, that when I preached a sermon, I'd always at the top put where I preached it and the date. And that's been helpful to me over the years. And I have notes for January, and somehow I don't have any notes until the last Sunday of March. But in those notes, it just simply says cabin at the top. And then the first Sunday of April, it says Calvary Chapel. So evidently, it must have been right at the end of March or first of April that we chose a name for the church. That's the nearest that I can narrow it down to. So I also remember in that first year. After we had a few families that were meeting together, Harold and Martha are with us today. Harold and Martha Amstutz and Harold's family. Harold was just a young boy at that time. And I think they were the first family that started attending after we kind of got going there. And so really glad for Harold and Martha to be here. Glad for all of you that came. And had to bring that. And then it was while we were at the cabin, I might just say this, it was the Amstutzes came, and then Glenn and Carolyn came while we were still at the cabin, and Wilbur and Idella, I think, came there at the cabin. And then I think it was, I tried to figure out when Don, I think Don Zooks came about the time that we built the building, the first building over here, I think. And I think back at those times. Here I am reminiscing. I need to preach. But I think back at those times. We started digging out the basement in, I think if I read that history right, September. And Richard came with his tractor and loader and dug out the basement. And we moved into the building. I think we had by January. That was in September, and by January we started having services. I think in the basement, and because the upstairs wasn't quite done yet. And so I look at that, and I, you know, as an older person, I, you know, those types of things need to be done by young people, and. That would look overwhelming anymore to me. I remember standing up that first morning. It was on January 6, 1974. I still remember standing up thinking, what have we done? And it was kind of an overwhelming thought at that time. And I'm going to, and I was asked, I guess I didn't have plans for this, but I was asked, as they were making preparations for today, if I would preach, they asked me, do you have the note? Do you have your sermon for the very first sermon that you preached? And I said, yes, I do. And they asked if I would preach that sermon here this morning. It's interesting, when Lynn got up this morning, he read from Joshua. And this also comes from Joshua. Joshua chapter 3 is the beginning, is where I preach from here, that very first sermon 50 years ago. Actually, it's a little over 50 years ago, but what we're celebrating. Joshua chapter 3. I'm going to read. I apologize for my voice. I've really been fighting a cold. I think I read the entire chapter that morning. I'm going to read the first three verses because in it, it kind of gives the idea of the direction that I was going that day. And Joshua rose early. This is where they were just coming to the, after the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, they come and now they're on the east side of the Jordan River. And they've conquered that land there. Some of them are going to stay, but they're helping to keep on going. And they're just ready now to cross the Jordan River. The Jordan River is in a flood stage. And how are they going to get across? And approximately 3 million people. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the Ark of the Covenant, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Now I meant four verses. And yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way hitherto. And in reading that, explained a little bit about, you know, what had happened there after they had conquered that previous land, and now they're going to go over into the promised land. I see the story as fitting for two reasons. And that is, we were starting a new year at that time, January 6th. That was the first Sunday of the year. But also the new step that we had taken. We had not passed that way before. And I guess that's why, one of the reasons why I chose that passage, because it's a way of a lot of uncertainty and a lot of unknown. And so I guess I felt like that was a fitting passage. Now, I had 3 points in that message. And I said, I see 3 things that were necessary for the people to let the miracle happen. 3 things that was necessary for them to see what God was going to do. God performed the miracle, but the people had to do their part. It was God that performed the miracle, but the people had to do their part. Still true in a lot of other things. The 3 things that I looked at was faith. We need to have faith. We need to have courage, and we need to have obedience. Those 3 things are necessary if we're going to see God work. It was necessary for the children of Israel, and it's necessary still today. The first one was faith. I read from over, let's go over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. The first 3 verses gives our definition of faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that's a little bit hard. Some of the other versions might make that a little bit easier. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And then through faith, here's one example, and the chapter goes on and give other examples. But through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And how important faith is. How often do we exercise faith? When we take pills, we have faith that whoever made those pills put in the proper ingredients. And so we have faith there. We drive a car down the road, we have faith that the other people are going to stay on their side of the road or stop when they're supposed to. But we're talking about a faith here, I said, that is in God Himself. And this is really key. It was a key then, and it's still really the key now. And that is, our faith is in God. Our faith is not in faith. Our faith is in God. And I made the statement there, and it's still true. What we think about God is the most important thing about us. Think about that. What we think of God is the most important thing about us. That is very true. And so they needed that faith. They needed that faith in God if they were going to get across that Jordan River. We need to have faith in God's Word. God had told them what to do. But God has also told us what to do. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth." And that needs to be foundational in our minds and hearts, that God's Word is truth. The people needed to believe what God said, and we need to keep on believing it. We need to keep on reading it. We need to keep on searching it, and let it just become a vital part of us. And then I ended that part by saying we need to have the faith that the Lord has led us thus far. And then I went on to the second point, was on courage. The children of Israel needed a lot of courage. They knew that what they faced ahead had a lot of dangers in it. They knew a lot of it was unknown. And sometimes the unknown is the scariest part, isn't it? But they needed a lot of courage. God had said for the priest to take the ark and to go down and to stand, walk into at the edge of the water and stop. And then the water would part. And so it took a lot of just not only faith, but the courage to do it. They had enemies all around them and so on. And so used that as an illustration of the children of Israel. But I also stated we need, as we move ahead, to have courage. Maybe we'll face ridicule. Maybe we'll face slander or whatever and misunderstanding. But we need to be convinced that we are where God would have us to be. And it's important for us, I said back then, to look forward and not back. And then I did something. I noticed in my notes that I did something. The next point I put in a different color ink. And I don't very often do that in my notes. But for some reason, I did this next heading in a different color, I guess so I would make sure that it stood out. And I when I made this statement of we need to look forward and not back, in different color, I said, we won't be able to do this until we have the proper attitude about what is past. And here was a point, here was something that I stressed pretty strongly at that point, is that we, in order for a person, and this is not only not that application, but in all kinds of applications, we are not able to really move ahead spiritually if we still have a lot of baggage and bitterness and all of that kind of things from the past. It doesn't happen. And there was four things that I said here as we looked about the past. Make sure that no bitterness or hard feelings exist. Now, we had left another church, and you know how that could be. Sometimes things are said and so on that you look back and say, I shouldn't have said those things, and so on. And we wanted to leave with good feelings. And, and that's something that we really tried to work on. And that is to not hold bitterness or hold grudges and so on about the past. We still counted those people as fellow believers. And we were still friends with them. And we'd meet them, we could talk with them and so on. And something that we stressed that is very important if we're going to move ahead. Try not to compete or tear down others. Be careful what we say about the past and what everyone else says. And don't be glad when something bad happens to others. And, that is so important that we can do that. Just as an aside, several years later, that congregation celebrated their 50th anniversary. And they asked me to come and share memories and so on with them, and I was glad I was able to do that. So I've always was glad for that opportunity. The third thing that I said was necessary to move ahead, and not only in that situation, but in all our situations, and that is obedience to the Lord. The children of Israel, they had to be obedient to what God had told them. If we read those few verses there, it said, you know, you keep so much distance between you and the ark, and he gave specific instructions of what they were to do. And if we're going to expect the Lord's blessing in our lives, it's going to take doing it His way. It is really, really important that we do that. And so I talked about the fact of how the children of Israel obeyed and how that they were successful then in doing that. And then again, I wrote in a different color ink, how do we get this? God wants obedience from us also. How do we get this? First one was have that proper attitude, and we need to look at obedience as a freedom. Too often we look at the things that God has told us to do as a bondage. We think, oh, that's so restrictive, that makes it so difficult. But we need to look at it as God is telling us that for our good. He wants the best for us. And so often what I look at is restrictive. He said, Tom, you need that for your freedom. That's how you're going to experience real victory and freedom in life. And we find freedom by being ready to give up our rights and privileges for the sake of others. And just the opposite so often of how we look at things. So often we look at things as my rights. This is the way I have my way, and so on. But to really find real freedom is to do the things the Lord's way. And then the last thing on that point was, we need to be consistent. We need to be consistent. Don't go overboard in one area and neglect others. And I think that is so important. You know, it's easy for us to get carried away in one direction or another. And I noticed here in these first notes, be consistent. Don't go overboard in one area and neglect others. And then in conclusion, I said, by the way, I didn't preach long, I don't think, that first message. I try not to be known for long sermons, but you might disagree. We have stepped into the Jordan River. Are we going to go forward for the Lord or turn back? And let God search our hearts to prepare us for the days ahead. And so, you know, it's really a message not just for them, but the same things apply to today. And then in closing, we sang the song, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. And I think here a little bit later, Jay is going to be leading us in that song. But I have just a couple of comments yet. Before I finish, you know, 50 years is a journey, I think, for any congregation. But it's not something that you do by yourself. This isn't about me or just one or two people. What's really important in a congregation is for people to work together and for people to support each other and to encourage each other. That is what is really important for that. This time has really brought a lot of memories. Even today here, looking at those pictures, all of a sudden memories start coming back and so on. But I think of many, many people over the years that have been a part of the congregation. They've all brought their own unique talents and gifts and abilities. And I've realized that every one of them, including me, had their needs also. We all have our own needs, don't we? And you know, we all have our, how would you say, there's always things that it seems like it's easy for people, it's something we use the term, get under each other's skin, you know? You don't have a group of people together very long until, you know, some of that can happen. But it takes a lot of love and care and concern for one another in working together. And I just want to commend people for doing that. You have your ups and downs. You have your joys. You have your disappointments and so on. And we realize more and more that none of us are perfect. I'd like to just give a special recognition to two groups of people. I'd like to give special recognition to our sisters over the years. They have been such a vital part of the church. This week, I just finished reading the book of Romans. And in that last chapter, chapter 16, the Apostle Paul sends greetings to a number of people. And a number of those, quite a number of those, are ladies. And I just read that again, and it just made me stop and think just how vital our congregation is of what our sisters do. And I say thank you. And I do to the men too. We as men, I thank you all for what you do. But I just like to give special recognition to our sisters for all of their hard work. Even in these past weeks, we've had a number of sisters here working here in the building, cleaning and so on. Even yesterday, so there were some here. I'd like to give special recognition to Emily Mast for putting together a lot of this, what we're enjoying here today. And Emily's, let's give her a good hand. Good idea. But many people have been involved here for this today and have helped and so on. But it just takes a working together. And I just thank all of you for doing that. Another group I'd like to recognize is the children over the years. Many of you grew up here. You were young here. Some of you rode tricycles in here while we were building. And now you're parents. That's something I have just really enjoyed over the years of watching the children grow up. Seeing the babies come and here you are today as parents and grandparents. It's just amazing to see that. So I just so much appreciate and yet to see, I guess I was never real strict about the children running around and playing. I wanted the children to enjoy coming to church. And so I just always enjoyed the children. Thank you. And I just, again, thank you for coming today. The Lord bless you. Let's keep on serving Him. And let's be faithful. Let's be faithful to the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for the privilege of this 50 years. And Lord, I just pray that each one of us, as we have had some involvement here at Calvary Chapel, that it's been a time of growing in our lives. And Lord, at this time, though, I want to just do one thing, and that is I want to praise you. I want to give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for what of anything that's been accomplished. Because, Lord, you are the one that makes it possible. And so I just want to thank you today for these 50 years. And I just pray, Lord, that as we go on, as we look to the future, that you too, again, can be in charge. And that you can lead us and guide us by your Spirit. Thank you for each one that came today. And I just ask your blessing upon each life. In Jesus' name, amen.